Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Yeah, we'll talk to Don Stevens in a bit. We're going to talk some more hockey here on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Brayton Wilson filling in for Gene Battaglia this afternoon. Mike Danger here. And Marty Baron joining us. Marty, how you been?
I've been great. Long time no see, right?
Yeah, Marty, it's been a second. We have Brayton coming in, and I said, Brayton, who do you talk to often that you love to talk hockey with? And you were the first name that came to mind, so we're glad that we have the chance to get you on with us this afternoon.
Who doesn't love speaking to the hockey media mogul?
It's the best.
Well, you know what? I want to talk football because I want to know what the heck was Jalen Ramsey doing yesterday? Like, he was taking dives everywhere, like, he can't play hockey.
He was flopping, right? It was almost like he was a soccer player there for a little bit. Marty, I wanted to start with you talking about the upper body injury to Hutton and you know what you've seen out of the play of Linus Allmark in a limited role so far this season. I love what we've seen out of Linus so far with his time with the Sabres so far this season.
Yeah, you see so much more poise, so much more maturity. Linus has been really in control of himself, of his play. He still has the personality. Whenever you put a microphone in front of him, he is, one of those special goalie, if we may characterize him as that. But I love everything that he's done. And you talk about, like, in a smaller role, but really, Phil Housley hasn't had a problem throwing Linus Allmark into the fire in big games. You know, there was a period there where Carter Hutton has had a couple of okay games early in November, late October, early November, and Phil Housley went right back with Linus Allmark after just sitting one game. He played the back end of a back-to-back after Nashville. You know, Carter Hutton played well in Nashville, but he wasn't afraid of throwing him right into Toronto. Maybe that had to do with the fact that Carter was not 100%, and now we know that he's dealing with an upper body. But still, I think that having Linus Allmark as a as an option right now is not a bad thing for the Sabres.
Certainly not, but let's just say that Hutton's going to be out over the course of the next maybe 3-4 games, Marty. Do we think maybe we get the chance to see Scott Wedgwood playing with the Sabres, or do you think it's Linus Allmark's net to lose at this point?
I think it's Linus Allmark's net to lose. And I mean, unfortunately, I think Scott Wedgwood, he's a great guy. I got to talk to him after practice this morning, really, and never had a chance to really talk much with him. He knows the game. He is a really good person, in the locker room. And I think that's why, he's such a big ad for the Rochester Americans alongside Wilcox to be their two netminders. But listen, the schedule for the Sabres is pretty light. They play tomorrow afternoon. Then they play Tuesday and Thursday. All the games are at home. There's no traveling. So I think if it's going to be like a week, let's see, for Carter Hutton, I think you see Linus Allmark in all three of the games that the Sabres have coming up.
Marty, let's talk a little bit about the last four games for the Sabres. And you mentioned the schedule lightening up a little bit here. It certainly has been daunting, the last four games coming out of that 10-game win streak. What did you see over the course of the four games where the Sabres went 0-2-2, and certainly that last game that we saw the Sabres against Toronto looking like the best out of those four games?
I think the Sabres were just a little bit behind in every aspect of the game. I think in Tampa, Carter Hutton played okay. He didn't have his best game, and where you needed him to make a big save, that last goal, I know he was screened by his own player, and that was Jason Pominville, but still, Carter Hutton's been so good that if you want to beat the top team in the East and one of the top team in the National Hockey League, you have to have your goaltender being the best. So that's Tampa. They lose by a goal. In Florida, I actually thought the Sabres were terrible the whole game against the Florida Panthers. They weren't handling the puck well. They weren't passing well. It seems like they had been really riding an emotional roller coaster that was really high for 10 straight games, and they finally got that loss, and then the adrenaline just went out the door, and the Sabres just had a bad game. But they got Linus Allmark to play well, but, it was still a little bit short. In Nashville, I thought they played better, but the Nashville Predators are really, really comfortable in a lead. They shut things down in the third period. The Sabres couldn't even get through the neutral zone. It was just a really hard game to play in because, let's face it, Nashville didn't have their top talent. So, you know, as soon as they took a 2-1 lead, they shut things down. And then I thought their best game out of the four was Toronto, and they still got a point. So you look at the four games, it wasn't bad, but every game there was something that made the Sabres weren't able to get over that hump to get the victory. And but now you're facing Philly, you're facing LA, Arizona. I think the Sabres don't have to be 100% on their top game to be able to win against those teams compared to playing Tampa, Nashville, and Toronto.
We're joined here in the Sports Spy by the hockey media mogul, Marty Biron, here on ESPN Rochester. Marty, looking at the injuries that the Sabres have just outside of Carter Hutton as well, the defense has been heavily affected by the latest slate of injuries. You've got Casey Nelson and Jake McCabe now out week to week with upper body injuries. Matt Hunwick is still not quite ready to go, and we've also got Marco Scandella, who's day-to-day with an upper body injury. So that leaves the defensive group a little banged up with six healthy defensemen now at this point. How do you think the Sabres handle it here moving forward, and what do you think about the play of guys like Lawrence Pilot coming in and filling in while some of these guys have been out injured?
Well, I think for Lawrence Pilot, it's been a dream call-up because not only is he playing the National Hockey League, but he's playing with Rasmus Ristolainen. And then I think those two have played really good. I think it was one of Risto's best games against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was very active. He was joining the rush. He was confident. Maybe the fact that they rolled five defensemen got him into the game a little bit more because Casey Nelson was out. But I think Pallett has played really well. Now, the injury on defense, it hurts. It hurts the Sabres right now. But they only need one of those guys back. So if you get Marco Scandella back, then you can say, okay, we have still a strong 6D because you'd have Dahlin with Bogosian, Pilot with Ristolainen, and then you could have Scandella with Beaulieu as the third pair, and it would still be, pretty respectable. If you get McCabe back, but we know it's week to week, but if McCabe comes back, then you have a really strong top four with McCabe, Risto, Dahlin, and Bogosian. So, obviously, you don't want to see injuries, but as soon as one of those guys is able to return to the lineup, I think it would still give the Sabres a pretty good decor. But being healthy is a key in the National Hockey League, so we hope that those guys can return pretty quickly.
Marty, as the Sabres blue line gets healthier, have we seen the last of Lawrence Pilot here in Rochester? Do you think he's done enough or shown enough, or is the jury still out on whether or not he comes back to the AHL level?
No, I don't think the jury is out at all. I think Lawrence Pilot is really good, and I think he's an up-and-comer to Buffalo and to the National Hockey League. But if the defense is healthy, I'm sticking with the 7D that played so well to the start of the season. So, again, you got McCabe and Risto as your top pair, Dahlin, Bogosian, rounding up the second pair, but they can mix and match, those top four. And then you have Scandella, Beaulieu, and Nelson as your 5, 6, and 7. That doesn't leave much room for Lawrence Pilot, who can go back to Rochester and be waiver exempt and still dominate at that level. So I think that if everybody's healthy, you've got a top seven that's really good. You add Matt Hunwick into the mix whenever he becomes healthy. Now you've got eight. I think that there's not a lot of space for Lawrence Pilot, even though he's been really good with the blue and gold.
Marty, looking ahead with the scoring that the Sabres have been able to put up, obviously Jack Eichel leads the way with 34 points in 29 games. Jeff Skinner's a point-a-game player. Sam Reinhart's right up there as well, 24 points in 29 games. But then when you look further down, the depth scoring kind of, it fizzles out a little bit. The Sabres need some more depth scoring in order for them to kind of sustain the success that they've been having, and I think that a lot of people would agree, but who in your mind do you think has to maybe take that next step in their game, or who has to be a little bit better for the Sabres in order for them to keep playing as well as they have been and to keep up in the Eastern Conference, especially in an Atlantic division who right now, I think three of the top five teams in the NHL are made up of the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, when it comes to the secondary scoring and the depth scoring, for me, it all starts through the middle of the ice. And I think it's hard to put so much pressure on Casey Mittelstadt because it's still his first NHL season, his first pro season. He only played 1 year of college. 2 years ago, he was playing high school hockey. That is hard to put on a Casey Mittelstadt to have that pressure to be able to perform. But, you know, it's hard for Connor Sherry to perform when the center position is not an experienced center position, maybe doesn't have the speed that, you know, we'll see out of Middlestad in 2-3 years from now. It's hard for Kalaposo to perform in that role as well. It's hard for Tage Thompson to perform on the wing when the middle position isn't solidified. We thought with Sobotka, we were going to solidify maybe that middle position. Now he's playing the wing with Evan Rodriguez playing the middle on the third line. So for me, in a perfect world, the Sabres would be able to either call up or acquire a centerman that would help solidify the middle. That would give you your response to the depth scoring. I think you would see everybody on the wing perform better if you were able to get somebody down the middle that has a little bit more experience, because we've seen it. Bombenville has been performing with Jack Eichel. You know, Reinhardt with Jack Eichel. Everybody's been performing with Jack, but you can't have Jack play on all four lines.
Marty, and obviously with the lack of, you know, some depth down the middle there, do you think maybe that's an area of concern for the Sabres moving forward, and maybe an area that Jason Bottrell, maybe if the Sabres are still contending by the trade deadline, maybe he buys for a position of need right there, maybe somebody down the middle that could be a nice secondary or even a third guy right behind Jack Eichel?
Well, I think that if we get to the end of February and the Sabres are in the playoff picture, I think that's the number one need for the Sabres. And one guy, and I know this is like far-fetched and, you know, we're months away from that, but I'm looking at acquiring a rental player, not somebody with 3-4 years on their contract, because the Sabres have got to, you know, be able to look down, you know, Rochester and what they've got coming up. They can fill that center position, you know, for next season, the year after, or they can look to free agent in the summer. But one guy that I would be very intrigued that maybe would be available at the deadline as a rental would be Matt Duchene with the Ottawa Senators. Now, he got hurt last night, but can you imagine if you could bring somebody like a Matt Duchene to Buffalo and you go with Jack Eichel at number one center, and then you have Duchene following him after that, especially the way that he's played so far with Ottawa? I think that just as a rental, bringing him into this locker room who is much different than the locker rooms that we've had over the last few years, I think it could be a type of player like that could come in and really help the Sabres, put him over the top. And Matt Duchene needs to perform in the playoffs for him to earn himself a nice contract next year. So I think he would like the opportunity as well to come to Buffalo.
Marty, you mentioned the locker room, and I can't help but go back to last season and think about what last season was like versus what like this season has been up to this point. I mean, did the Sabres really practice addition through subtraction in terms of building up the locker room chemistry? I mean, these guys actually seem to care about each other, trust each other, and man, they're fun to watch. They look like they're having a fun time together.
Yeah, I don't think it's addition through subtraction, because I'm not going to fault Ryan O'Reilly. I'm not going to fault anybody that was here with the Buffalo Sabres that, you know, weren't able to get it done. This team was just bad. It was just bad. And losing brings the worst out of you. And when you don't want to go to practice, when you don't want to stay for meetings, you know, like there was so many injuries on defense. The goaltending was not good. So, I mean, the addition was with the addition. You bring Connor Sherry, you bring Berglund and Sobotka and Thompson and Skinner and Carter Hutton, and now all of a sudden you've got a very different lineup, a different roster. Now Kalaposo is a much bigger voice in the locker room. Carter Hutton is a voice in the locker room. Jack Eichel can be a bigger voice in the locker room, but it could be a positive voice because the team's winning. If this team had lost, you know, 10 out of 12 to start the season, I can guarantee you it wouldn't be the same feeling at practice. Because losing just is not fun at all.
Marty, it's always great talking to you, getting caught up on everything happening with the Sabres. We hope we get the chance to do it again real soon, and we look forward to tomorrow afternoon seeing you 1 o'clock on MSG. Appreciate all the work you're doing. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much, guys. Anytime.
You got it. Marty Baron. What do you call him? National Hockey League media mogul?
He's the hockey media mogul because we always talk with him every Thursday morning over at our sister station, WGR, where that's probably where I'm mainstay at. But yeah. we talk to him every Thursday morning, 7:30, and the one intro that we had was our big voice guy calling him the hockey media mogul, because he like named off all the like TSN, RDS, all that stuff, and yeah, we got a kick out of it. So now ever since then, I've always been calling him the hockey media mogul, and
it's good. You know, it's good. It's I great. Like it. It sounds awesome. When we have Mike Catalana from 13WM, our 13WM sports director, he is our Rochester sports icon. It's good to attach these labels, these well-deserved labels,
for sure,
to the experts that we talk to.
Absolutely.
Here in the sports bar. I like that. Marty Baron was great, and if you missed any of that, or if you came on late, we'll have it on for you on demand shortly at ESPN Rochester.
Just want to pass along a couple of things that broke during the interview with Marty Baron.
Yeah.
A college basketball note, as you know, St. Bonaventure and University of Buffalo, they're going to be playing tomorrow. It's sold out for the first time in a long time in St. Bonaventure. That game's sold out. That's just a minor note, but just figured I'd pass that along just because it's a bigger matchup. But I think the bigger news that has broken over the last probably 15 minutes is that Darren Lee, linebacker for the Jets, has been suspended by the NFL for 4 games, and that is effective immediately. He's violated the league's policy on substance of abuse.
Wow. So another reason to feel optimistic about the Bills.
Yeah.
He's one of their defensive weapons, right?
Yeah. Darren Lee's been very good for the Jets since they drafted him last year, I believe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a huge loss for the Jets, especially on defense.
Todd Bowles is going to lose his job.
Oh, well, Todd, I mean, he should have lost his job already.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I thought he was going to lose his job after the Bills game.
I thought so, too.
I mean, I don't know how you come back from that. I don't know that he will come back from that. And well, the Jets are just doing Jetsy kind of things, right? They're just going to ride out the rest of the season. Meanwhile, other teams being proactive.
Right.
The Packers firing Mike McCarthy. They never do that. The Packers never do that.
Yeah.
But they're getting a little bit of
a head
start.
They were classy, though, in order to let him come back, talk to the players, and kind of just say like thank you for everything. And
I did like that. And,
yeah,
and by the way,
it's a great gesture.
If you want to know, a game that I think will be a blowout this weekend, watch Green Bay absolutely put it on Atlanta this weekend. I think Aaron Rodgers, knowing that now there are no excuses, right? If your performance was bad because of your head coach, well, he's gone. Now it's your time to say, and I don't have any reason to believe that Aaron Rodgers won't just be magnificent this week. If you're a fantasy player and you have Aaron Rodgers, yes.
And
yes,
the Packers are actually favored in this game, I believe, too. I think they're a -3, -3.5, something like that.
The Packers just against that depleted Falcons secondary and Aaron Rodgers with something to prove, watch out.
That's another coach that I think should probably lose his job at the end of the year is Dan Quinn. He has taken a team that, I mean, because he's more of a defensive coach, I believe, if I'm right there. He took a team that had a good defense, they got to the Super Bowl, and over the past 2 years have underwhelmed massively.
Well,
they've been terrible. 4.5 is the line.
I will say that Dan Quinn this year has probably given himself a pretty reasonable excuse. I mean, he's been decimated on the defensive side of the ball with injuries.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't speak much to his ability to develop young talent, but I think if he does survive, and I think he will survive, but next season, probably on a short lease, especially when you consider, you know, you want to see more out of your investment at quarterback, too. I mean, you know, if there's a scapegoat maybe for Dan Quinn, it's Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, that now in his second year still hasn't been able to break through with Matt Ryan, and he's just not putting up the kind of numbers and the kind of performances that you expect out of a guy that you've invested that much money in. All right, let's take a break. Brayton Wilson, the voice you're hearing along with me, Mike Danger, here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. Gene has the day off. We've got more on the way next. Before 5 o'clock, we'll serve up today's top NFL stories with NFL appetizers. Happy hour is coming up, and we'll get you prepared for the Amerks in Providence tonight at Blue Cross Arena. The Bruins coming to town. Don Stevens will join us right around 5:45 in the sports bar. All on the way, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's home for Amerks hockey is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League. ESPN Rochester. Hear every bone-crushing hit, every spectacular save, every screaming slap shot and game-winning goal right here. Rochester Americans hockey.
And the Amherst quickly have taken the lead.
Exclusively on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.